If you can't see it, come closer. No volume.
Pet Ministry is specifically a ministry to national leaders and national pastors. I see it both as a church strengthening ministry and a church planting ministry.
Our mission statement is that we exist in order to provide training, teaching and preaching ministries, but especially teaching ministries for equipping further the national pastors and church leaders to help them more effectively fulfill the Great Commission.
PEP is necessary because local churches need trained leaders.
I can't imagine staying in front of my people, opening my Bible, and not having had a class in hermeneutics, having, you know, no notes. There are no commentaries, and we go to places where it's minor languages, and so these men don't have any resources. So these are men who are trying to preach the word with no education, no background.
When you have a pastor come up and say, teach me how to preach, how to study the Bible, teach me how to counsel my people, teach me how to shepherd my people, you can see in their eyes that there's a real void, something that they have not received that they need in order to not only be strengthened as a pastor, but to strengthen their churches.
This is like a third phase of church planting. And so church planting is not truly complete, I believe, until we have prepared and laid the groundwork for the nationals to continue carrying that on their own. There are countries today that no longer have missionaries, and it's becoming more and more that way.
And so there are many small church plants that are scattered globally that don't have leadership. And they need pastors, they need deacons, they need lay leaders, and they need them to be trained and equipped and qualified according to the Word of God. And the more that they are equipped, and you see those church plants receive a new leader who has been trained and equipped, you can see the completion of a church. It's extremely fulfilling.
We travel to do short-term trips, normally 2 weeks on the ground in some country overseas. We travel globally upon invitation to speak at conferences, seminars, and teaching module courses. Our goal is to help them to become more efficient, more effective, more passionate. We want to inspire them. We want to challenge them. We want to encourage them.
What does a pastor really need? What are the basics? What does he have to expound the word faithfully, to shepherd his people biblically?
How to study the Bible, how to interpret it, how to preach the Word of God, how to counsel. Some very practical areas of pastoral ministry and what it means to shepherd.
Subjects like the true disciple. What does Christ expect from us? What is the Christian life to look like?
Taught a couple of classes on music, basic music theory, music in the church.
Another course might be biblical stewardship, something that many leaders overseas have never received any teaching about.
Formal, theological, ministerial, pastoral training, where they learn hermeneutics, they learn how to exegete the scriptures faithfully, they learn the doctrines of the scriptures, they learn what shepherding means biblically. They're not going to get that kind of formal training without a ministry like PEP.
We exist to serve them, to meet their needs. So they're the ones that are in the driver's seat, and they guide us. They set up a program for us, what it is that they want us to do when we get there.
That we want to be available, that we can assist them and come alongside and be a help in order that their leaders might be trained and equipped and developed, and it would be a ministry to them as they carry their church plant to the third stage.
As these men train their people, their people will become the missionary force in their community, which is the Great Commission happening.
We're living in a time where many countries are closing their doors, and we need to take advantage of the opportunities that we have now to prepare and to train the national leaders to carry on that work that sooner or later will not be able to be carried on by American missionaries or foreign missionaries going to a foreign field.
To me, it's the next step in missions. Missions has been defined for a long time as evangelism and church planting. And indeed, for all these decades, that's primarily what we've been doing, evangelism and church planting. We're now at the next stage, the next step in missions, where it's training men to handle the word well so they can accomplish what they are responsible to do. They're going to stand before God. These men are going to stand before God with their shepherding ministries, with their teaching, preaching ministries. And we need to equip them to do that well.
Typical trip begins way before we get on the plane. A typical trip begins with a lot of the preparation. It's the raising of the funds. There's the writing and preparing of the material, and in many cases, the translating of the material. There's the communication with the nationals on the field and the organization of what needs to be done in order to get to the field and what they want from us and what we can offer to them. It involves all of the plane fare and visas that you may need and all of that kind of preparation.
When we go, we always try to plan at least 2 weeks on the ground. It may be a conference 1 week, a Bible school course the next week. It may be two different regional conferences the 2 weeks. And then we always try to plan to be with them the three Sundays that bracket those 2 weeks, so that we have the maximum amount of time, because of the cost, the investment of getting there. We try to have the maximum amount of input into their churches, as we're invited, of course. And that's all arranged for us, and itineraries arranged for us ahead of time.
In the evenings, in some situations, you're preaching in churches as well. It just depends. Sometimes your evenings are relatively free. Even then, you're meeting with leaders often, maybe students, maybe some of the pastors. You're trying to fellowship. You really give yourself over to whatever they want you to do, however you can help, however you can serve, however you can encourage and edify.
So we're investing our time in strengthening the church worldwide by strengthening the leaders of the church. And then they go back into their multiple settings, places that we will never be able to go, places where we will never be able to influence their people. But these men, as we have a solid week in some cases with them, or 3 or 4 days teaching 4 to 6 hours a day with them, they'll be able to go back, and now they have been changed. They go back having made decisions about things that will change in their lives and in their ministry.
The other thing is, as we're strengthening pastors, training them, they are less susceptible then to all the theological error that's floating around out there, things that we share with these countries, and things that develop in their own areas.
We don't go just for the purpose of teaching information. We're not just there to fill their heads with another subject. We're teaching for change.
When we have Q&A times with these pastors, and we always do, Friday of every conference is a 2 or 3 hour Q&A time, often the questions they ask are very similar to the struggles we face here. Just challenges of ministry and discouragement and division in the church and these kinds of things.
We want to be the ones who might put our arms around these men and say, you can do it. And God has called you. Don't give up. God is with you.
And the other burden is for those pastors that feel abandoned, that are in remote areas and have no one to talk to, and feel and know that they were not trained well, that they are lacking what was necessary.
And it's been a privilege to put my arm around the shoulders of a brother who is carrying heavy burdens, somebody who is passionate and zealous for serving the Lord, but he doesn't have somebody often coming to put his arm around him and encourage him. And sometimes the most valuable thing we can do is just to listen to them and look them in the eye and say, just remember, God loves you and He cares for you. And then to pray for this brother, because these are the real needs that are there.
All right. I didn't open up the other one purposely, just so that we didn't have problems with sound. So now we're opening up the PowerPoint that corresponds to the PEP ministry, and I hope to maybe answer some questions you might have since our transition in ministry. So bear with me as we get this thing going. Are you watching what I'm watching down there? All righty. Well, I apologize for the small screen. We didn't have the right cable, and I should have come better prepared for VGA, but, well, here we are, and we're able to see that anyway. Sorry, you have to watch TV from the back of the church. That's rough. So there's my wife, and we have six children that God has blessed us with. Our oldest is Raquel. She is dating an MK from Trujillo, where these guys lived for many years, and so we are really pleased with the way the Lord is leading in her life, and you can pray for her. She's working at a bank. Oh, I wasn't finished. My son, who on the right, he's got a little whiskers down on his chin, Marcus, he married an MK from Trujillo, and so we married into that missionary family, great friends. And a sweet girl, they're looking at a ministry right now, or he's working in a ministry with battered women, abused children down in Peru, but he's working more on the tech side and setting up different web pages and habilitating that ministry. So it's neat to see God bringing them into ministry in that way. My third son is Joel. He's standing beside my wife there, and he's dating, He just got engaged to a young lady from our church in Minnesota, and she's a sweetheart that I really said, I think you ought to talk to Sarah, you know, she's a sweet girl. And anyway, it took a while, but God moved there, and so they're getting married in March. You can pray for them. So yeah, we're in that stage that our kids are starting to leave the nest and grow up. Isaac's studying online just now this fall. David is studying online, and so they're our college-age young people right now. The rest of them, well, Joel still is as well. And then Willie, he's the small one next to Marcus there. He's not so small now. He's bigger than a few of his brothers. Still as skinny as all get out, but he's growing up. And so in high school now. We were in Peru for 28 years, so we saw half of our children born in Peru. The others throughout the transition of deputation and language and the first term, the first three children were born. And 29 years with the mission at this point, the first 25 in the country of Peru, and then the last few years in the transition working with PEP. First of all, we'll start with reasons for the transition. If you remember, we had health issues with our youngest son, Willie, and struggling with that for many years, trying to understand the thing. What was happening is he was getting sick with every disease that came along, but it kept him down longer and hit him harder than any of the rest of us, because we all had things with Giardia and different diseases from living in a third world country and the water and the different situations that we had there. But we came to understand later on that really it was tied to some concussions that he had, one in the U.S. where he had an accident slammed on his head when he was ice skating, and down in Peru he fell off a bank onto his head and cut his head open when he landed upside down on a bike and landed on his head. Anyway, a couple accidents that did cause some brain damage. And then there were complications with the altitude. Nobody recognized this, and we suspected it because we'd see differences in him when he was coming up or down in altitude. We used to live at 13,700 feet, so, you know, like living at Pike's Peak height. And then we moved down, all the way down to 9,000 feet, which is still quite high. but everyone said, he's born here, he's raised here. This is not the issue. But when we came back to the U.S. in 2017, we went through Yellowstone. And at that point, we went up to a high elevation. And my wife was in tune, as she always is, and noticed that the old symptoms coming back. And so there are complications with the altitude. Getting a medical diagnosis was difficult in Urubamba. Then we were in Cusco and going to various doctors there. Then we went to Lima, and we were doing that all over Lima. Then we came back to the States for a medical furlough, medical leave, and went to Mayo, went through their testing, and what we found that we were able to get a diagnosis. They diagnosed it as POTS. A disease, an autonomic disorder that you're not getting oxygen to the brain and your automatic functions aren't kicking in. But the thing that was really hard for us is that there was really no medical treatment. When Mayo got done giving us the diagnosis, they just said, buck up, do your full school schedule, have two extracurricular activities. You're going from morning to night. The only reason you don't do your activities, if you have a compound fracture, you can stay at home. If you have a fever of 105, you can stay home. So they just named off. They just get going and be a man, kind of. And it really didn't work with him, with his nausea and his vomiting and his headaches. And so this year, some things have changed, last year really even. One of the things was just we were trying to get him active, and we got him into the cross-country program in our local public school, so he was running cross-country. Didn't do great in the practices, but he went to most of them, but only did two meets. This spring, he ran track, and he went to all the practices, and he ran all the meets, so there was some improvement, and we were excited about that. So we're trying to get him going, and now, just this past week, he's starting in on cross country again. We had some relief this year because we started to go see a functional neurologist, and this guy, his diagnosis was much more scientific than we saw in any of the places that we've gotten testing. They put things on his eyes and ears, and they did everything, and we could see that his pupils do not dilate, one more than the other. But when he has light, it'll do a quick movement, and then it stays big. And so he's letting more light, and he says, well, there's your answer on why he's getting migraines. And then his autonomic reaction, his eyes do funny things, and we watch it. It's not responding correctly, and they're not corresponding, the two eyes together. And so some of the things that they used as testing, they're using as therapy. And they're doing therapy twice a week, and he's responding to it. Now, we also have been trying to see about a hyperbaric chamber that he could help to get oxygen to his body and do that along with the physical therapy or the therapy that the doctor is doing. And one of the things that just happened in the month of July is we went out on a trip to the it's the annual conference of our mission, and people came from all over the world. We got back the very next day. My wife got COVID, and the symptoms hit her hard, and the next one to fall was me. Willie got it, and then David fell later, and we were all sick, and we didn't come back to Washington as we planned in July for a wedding and a family reunion. Again, with Willie, it set him back longer and harder, and so he was set back, but now he's going back to the therapy. We just ask you to continue to pray for Willie and for his health. And so since July 2019, I've been full-time in this program that's called PEP. And you probably can't read it, but it's Pastoral Enrichment Program. You heard it described. You've heard the heart of my colleagues, and those are great guys to work with. And I praise the Lord for this exciting ministry that he allows me to be a part of. You've heard that short-term trips overseas. And so that's what we do. conferences, seminars, and class modules for national church leaders. That's the focus of our ministry, and it's especially encouraging pastors or preparing pastors for ministry in Bible college settings. God's blessing, we've seen with the many trips that have been completed over the last few years, overwhelming opportunities globally, and a great team of four couples, great, great team. We are all older missionaries. I'm the youngest. The leader of the team is Larry Fogle. He's 72, I believe. Another one's just at 70. John Mitchell, the other one, he's, you know, about to 60. And then me. And so we just praise the Lord for these four couples. But we're also aware that we need others to help us. And so one of the answers for the need of teaching is adjunct professors, which means that they are involved with us over a period of time until we accept them as a full adjunct, and then they can make one or two trips a year as God leads them to do. Another area that's a blessing is the many decisions that we see on each trip, and another is all the expenses covered with the airfare and all of the other needs. The repeat invitations, yearly getting invited back to the different countries that we're involved in. One of the blessings that I have is speaking two languages, English and Spanish. And so when we're in Latin America, I don't need a translator. When I'm in Bangladesh and India and Brazil and these other countries, yeah, we need it. We have 12 courses that we're teaching and adding to that all the time. The DVD was done after the strategic planning and things, so we praise the Lord for all of these needs that God is supplying for. So just to recap, three facets of the PEP ministry are the conferences overseas for the national pastors and church leaders and module courses in Bible schools, and then the School of Church Planning that we're doing here annually. One year is how to start a church, and the other year is how to revitalize a church. And the program, the principles, biblical principles that we're teaching in this, we want to develop them to be able to take this School of Church Planning overseas as well. So that's a new ministry in the last couple years that came up. My PEP trips that I've been involved in, 2019, the first one was to Bangladesh, second was to Brazil, the third was to the School of Church Planting, and to our annual conference and a conference among our PEP leaders, and then to India, and then Iowa and Minnesota churches, and then to Nepal and India. In 2020, COVID happened, and do you recall how that affected your lives? Well, it affected our lives too. We didn't get to go to Malta, Turkey, Israel, India. And we were all of a sudden shut down with our ministry. We were able to translate via Zoom a counseling class, and Renee was able to teach a class on Judaism, and he also did that through Zoom. In October, we did an Israel conference in Peru, and that was fantastic. That was via Zoom. We actually recorded it, and then they just passed our recordings through a screen. So that took a lot of work. And coordinating, and then recording, and preparing, but God allowed us to do that. And then in September and December, visiting more supporting churches in Iowa. 2021, this year, Malta, and you see the repeat invitations, but Malta and Turkey was again canceled. Very difficult. They still were not having in-church services, and nobody could get together, so that was canceled. But one thing that's happening is we're getting more invitations for conferences in Spanish, even here in the States. So in Des Moines, I had a family conference a couple days. I spoke about six times on the subject of the family. So it was a beautiful opportunity, and God bless. There were like four churches that came together for this conference. And then I have a repeat invitation now in October as well for a missions conference. India was canceled this year, but God's brought up new opportunities. One is teaching biblical geography in Urubamba, where I was the director. And so that's going to happen from August through December, every Monday, In the morning hours, I teach biblical geography. So that's a blessing to be involved, and it's a blessing to do it week by week. 2021 continued. We finish our trips here to the States in Washington, and we're going to be out in Minnesota for a week. Then I travel with them to Peru, and I'll be teaching counseling two times, once in Lima and then once in Ica. So 3 weeks of teaching there. And then in October, 3 missions conferences. And then in December, if the Lord allows, the Philippines and India are on the docket to be visited. But things are not sounding good, and the Philippines even worse, but India's bad too. So it does not look very hopeful on that overseas trip. Continue to pray that things will open up. We had a lot of canceled trips, and we've been living in the home of my brother-in-law, who is Sharon's oldest brother, who is the pastor there in Minnesota. And in 2019, he passed away with cancer. And so that was a hard time. We were able to be there with him and in his home and helping to take care of animals as they were going through a lot of things. But at some point, we do not want to live in their trailer anymore. And so we've been a help to the sister-in-law, but at some point we would like to move out of that trailer and have a more permanent and personal housing. So we bought a house in August of 2020, last fall. It's been going about a year now. And we had to replace the foundation, major renovations throughout this whole process, installing the water, sewage, and boiler systems. We got the floor poured when all the tubes were in the floor for the hydronic heating, the in tubes in the floor that heat the cement. And then we had the electric installed this summer. It's ready to have the final inspection when I get back here in a couple weeks. Some projects that we have to do this fall before winter comes upon us, because it's all open, no doors, no windows. And so we need to get those installed, otherwise it could get chilly inside. We got to put up our insulation and sheetrock so that we can heat the house. And we need to get the heating finished. And then the installation of the boiler. So that's next week when we get back. That's going to be our push on our project. And then work on the indoor finish work throughout the winter if we have a warm house and a sealed house to work in. Next spring, when the snow coming off, we'll work again on the outside outbuildings and decks and the siding and finish everything up on the outside. And then someday we'll move in. It sounds like it's a long ways out there, but we're looking forward. Here's some pictures of the house. Doesn't look bad, but it was pretty rough, actually, and you'll see some more inside. This is the house how it was. There was no drain around the house. The walls were caved in because the blue clay was saturated with water, and the freezing weather that they get in Iowa can freeze down as low as 10 feet. And so the walls are all buckled in. So we had a lot of renovations there. You see they put a bathroom in the kitchen. We had three bathrooms and one bedroom. And so we got rid of one of the bathrooms anyway, especially right in the middle of the kitchen. And the next thing was picking the house up and knocking all the foundations out and then starting over again. So, I mean, we're almost coming to a new house when we're done with everything. We were able to set it down after we dug out the basement, put in the footing that lacked, and then we put in ICFs, which are insulated concrete forms, styrofoam. You poured it with 8 inches of concrete in between the styrofoam, and then we set the house back down. This was last fall. And then in the spring, we were able to finish getting the membrane on the outside, put the walls to support underneath in the basement, and divide it up into rooms and bathrooms and such. And so that's all done. This spring, we were able to pour more footings, and we're putting in a cold room and then an entrance. At this point, you can see the ICFs and what I'm talking about, where it's a hole in the middle. You build up the forms, and then you pour it with cement. There we are the day that we poured. And then we start putting the floor, the walls, the roof. And so now the entrances are all done. And we've got more done than even shows in these pictures. The mountains of dirt are starting to disappear. About a month ago, I bought 25 windows for $1,200. They were taken out of a house, and I got them at Restore. Before, we were looking for one window, and they were like $1,200 to $2,500, depending on the quality of window you get, for one window. And I was like, wow, that's a lot of money. And so we found these for $1,200, and they're nice Marvin windows. And here's the bay window that we were working on getting installed. It's not in yet, but we're working on the opening there to so that when we get back, it'll be done. I do not believe that I have time to take you to Bangladesh, because our time is getting short. So I'm going to cut this off now, and we'll look at Bangladesh another time. And I'm going to ask Renee to come up. Renee, si tu puedes venir. And he's going to share with you a ministry that God has led him to be involved in. And I will translate.
Muchas gracias, hermanos, por la invitación.
Thank you so much for the invitation to be here.
El Señor me permitió conocerlo a la edad de 8 años.
God allowed me to come to know him when I was 8 years old.
El vecino era creyente y él hacía cultos en su casa.
My neighbor was a believer and he started to do services in his home.
Entonces,
he was Catholic.
Invitaba a todos los niños a participar de esos cultos.
So he started inviting all the children to come, and he would share the gospel with them and teach God's word to them.
Los niños no quieren ir a un culto.
The little kids didn't want to go to the church service or to his evangelistic services.
Pero lo que él hacía era, después del culto, invitarnos helado.
But after the Bible lesson, he would give us ice cream.
Porque era fabricante de helados.
Because he made ice cream and sold it. That was one of the things he did for a living.
Entonces, teníamos todo el helado que queríamos.
So at the end, we could eat all the ice cream we'd want.
Entonces, el helado me atrajo.
So it was the ice cream that took me into that surroundings.
Pero llegó el momento en que entendí el evangelio y recibí a Cristo como mi Salvador.
But there came a point where I understood the gospel and I received Jesus as my Savior.
Y desde ese entonces el Señor en su misericordia ha ido bendiciendo mi vida de muchas formas.
And from that moment on, God began to bless my life in many ways.
Y la primera gran bendición es que me llevó a estudiar a un seminario.
And the first blessing was that I'd like to mention tonight is how he led me to study in Bible college.
Regresé a la iglesia de vacaciones y el pastor tenía que salir.
I came back in during my Bible college studies, and the pastor was leaving the church, and they asked me to be the pastor. Así has dicho.
Y ahí viene la segunda bendición de Dios. Él me llevó al pastorado. La iglesia necesitaba un pastor.
So the church needed a pastor, and so one of the another blessings is the Lord gave me a pastoral ministry.
Pero no terminé mis estudios.
But I hadn't finished my studies still.
Después de unos años, regresé al seminario para terminar mis estudios.
So after like 4 years, went back to study and finish my degree and finish the Bible college preparation courses.
Y viene otra gran bendición de
so vida. There comes another big blessing.
Yo era pastor soltero y no quería estar así.
I was a single pastor and I didn't want to be.
Y conocí a mi esposa en el seminario.
So that's where I met my wife.
Y bueno, ya. Ya ven los resultados.
And you can see the results of God's blessings in my life.
Me permitió estar unido a mi esposa y hacer la obra de Dios con ella.
God allowed me to be joined to my wife and then do ministry together.
Y otra gran bendición es que él nos ha dado dos hijas.
And so another great blessing is that he gave us two beautiful girls. So you can see in the picture my wife, and you can also see my two girls.
La mayor es profesora en un colegio cristiano allá en Perú.
The oldest girl is teaches English in a Christian school in Peru now.
Y la segunda está entrando a su tercer año de universidad.
And my second daughter is in her third year in a university in Winona Lake, Indiana.
Pero hay otra bendición más.
But there's another blessing.
que el Señor me ha abierto las puertas en dos ministerios muy importantes.
That God has allowed me to become involved in two important ministries.
El primero es PEP.
First one is PEP that you've already seen and heard about.
Y estoy trabajando para que esa meta se pueda lograr.
And I am working in finishing my education. They require an MDiv to be in this program, or at least, and we have to. He has to finish a second trip, and then he could become an adjunct professor and join us. And which he'll continue to join us. He'll just have to be a guest until he becomes an adjunct professor.
Y el segundo ministerio es programas evangelísticos para radio.
The second ministry that God's given me is evangelistic radio messages.
Este es el programa que el Señor está usando en toda América Latina.
This is a ministry that God is using throughout Latin America. It's not just Peru.
La idea es producir programas evangelísticos para que las iglesias los utilicen.
And so the idea is to produce evangelistic messages, video and oral recordings, so that churches can use them in evangelization.
A Dios gracias, en la actualidad tenemos 2,500 emisoras en toda América Latina transmitiendo los programas.
We thank the Lord that now we have over 2,500 radio stations broadcasting our programs throughout Latin America.
Y sacando cuentas, más de 1,500,000 de veces se transmiten los programas en todos los países de América Latina.
Yep, throughout Latin America, 2,500 radio stations are broadcasting these.
Lo interesante es que el 65% de estas emisoras son seculares.
And an interesting piece of information is that 65% of the radio stations that transmit the programs are secular stations.
Y las emisoras seculares quieren ganar dinero.
Secular radio stations exist to make money.
Entonces, para que nuestros programas pasen por esas emisoras.
So our programs, for our programs to be on these secular radio stations,
tendríamos que pagar lo que corresponde a ese espacio.
We should pay for the time that we get on each radio station.
Pero Dios es grande y todas esas emisoras lo transmiten gratuitamente los programas.
But all of these stations transmit our programs free of charge.
Esa es una muy grande bendición.
So that's a tremendous blessing.
Otro detalle es que en América Latina hay dos pueblos muy grandes que son los guaraníes y los quechua.
There's two large people groups in Latin America, and one of them is the Quechua from the Peru, around Peru, and the other is the Guarani from Paraguay.
Entre los dos pueblos son 18 millones de personas.
Between those two people groups, 18 million people are we reaching with
Entonces,
the gospel.
Los programas se están traduciendo a sus idiomas.
So all of the programs that we're doing, they're being translated into those two languages and then transmitted on these radio stations.
Pero también queremos alcanzar a los jóvenes.
But we also want to be able to reach out to the young people.
Y ellos más usan la tecnología.
And they're more stuck on their smartphones.
Así que estamos produciendo o introduciendo los programas a través de aplicativos.
So we're putting our programs into these different apps that the young people can download and then see these programs.
Y los podcasts que se han hecho famosos entre los jóvenes.
And podcasts that are famous among the young people.
Y pueden ver cuántas veces ya han bajado ese aplicativo a sus celulares en los números que tienen en pantalla.
So you can see the numbers, how many downloads of the apps onto their different smartphones, how many times they play, and I don't know what all this stuff is, launching and then printing off materials.
Pero nuestro propósito es evangelístico.
Our purpose, though, is evangelism.
Entonces, miren estos números de cómo el Señor está obrando a través de la pandemia para que la gente busque a Dios.
So since they started putting these programs on apps, the idea was so that people would hear the gospel. The interesting thing when you look at this, if you can see it, is that in 2018 with COVID, more people began listening. I mean, a lot more people began listening. So COVID came and the gospel is reaching a lot more people.
El COVID ha traído miedo a las personas.
COVID has been the cause of a lot of fear among the people in Latin America.
Y se han dado cuenta que nada de lo que tienen en este mundo les puede salvar.
They've understood that nothing can save me in this world. Nothing can save me from this disease.
Lo único es buscar a Dios.
So the only option then when you're faced with death is to seek God.
Y para seguir promoviendo el evangelio entre la gente por causa del COVID estamos produciendo videos.
And so we're producing videos because of the desire to get the gospel to them. So video messages.
Y se transmiten a través de YouTube, Facebook y WhatsApp.
So this is transmitted to people through YouTube and Facebook and WhatsApp.
Y tenemos mucha gente que está viendo esos videos.
And many people are watching these videos.
Una vez más, todo esto es evangelístico.
And so once again, all of these are evangelistic messages that are being created and then transmitted.
En América Latina, la gente ya no recibe folletos.
In Latin America, a lot of times people don't want to receive the literature, evangelistic literature, tracts.
Pero hicimos un tratado sobre el COVID y en una semana se repartieron más de 140,000 folletos en toda América Latina.
But we went ahead and published a tract specifically about COVID, and we didn't know how they would be received, but in 1 week, 140,000 tracts were distributed in those 14 countries.
Asimismo, la pregunta sería, ¿y cómo es que llegamos a toda América Latina?
And then the question is, how do you reach so many people in so many countries?
Pues tenemos personas de cada país en su país trabajando con nosotros para promover los programas en las emisoras e iglesias.
Well, we have people in all of the countries that we are able to reach out that are there promoting the videos in radio stations and in churches and making it happen in their particular country where they live.
Oh, son hombres, familias que aman a Dios y con mucho, mucho esmero hacen la obra de él.
Families that work together and through great effort, they are getting the gospel out to their country through the churches and the radio stations.
Entonces, la radio es una gran herramienta para llevar la palabra de Dios a la gente.
So the radio and the internet have been a great ministry, a great means to be able to get the gospel out to Latin America.
Un testimonio corto.
Just want to share with you a short testimony about this man.
Alejandro Benítez era narcotraficante.
Alejandro Benítez was a drug trafficker.
Estuvo en la cárcel.
And he was in prison.
Estando en la cárcel, él escuchó el evangelio por medio de la radio.
In prison, he heard the gospel messages through the radio ministry of Spanish World Ministries.
Y recibió a Cristo como su Salvador en su celda.
He received Christ as his Savior in his prison cell.
Estando en esa situación de salvación, nos contactó.
When he accepted Christ as Savior, he reached out to us through the contact information that were given on the radio station.
Entonces, le pudimos proveer más material para su crecimiento espiritual.
So we began giving him material for his spiritual growth.
Él juntó a los demás compañeros de la cárcel y les hacía escuchar la radio.
And so he started gathering together the different men in the prison and they started listening to the radio with him to the gospel messages.
Y recibieron a Cristo como su Salvador.
And more began to receive Christ as Savior there in prison.
Poco tiempo, él era el líder de una iglesia naciente en la cárcel.
And in a short time, he became the spiritual leader of these men in that prison system.
Después salió de la cárcel y ahora es un hombre muy fiel en la iglesia.
Later, after really establishing a church there in the prison system, he was given freedom and then he went out and continues to be faithful and serve the Lord in his local church.
Y eso es lo que el Señor está haciendo a través de los programas radiales.
So this is an example of what God's doing and the blessings that come from these radio programs.
Entonces, como verán, el Señor está usando y ese es el ministerio en el cual ahora nosotros estamos involucrados.
And so that's one of the other ministries and blessings that God's given us, and we are excited to be involved in these evangelistics and also training ministries.
Así que agradeceré mucho que nos apoyen con sus oraciones.
So we will be very grateful for your prayer support, and we'd ask you to take our prayer cards and take us home and take our pictures home and pray for our families.
Y todo lo que el Señor está haciendo con este ministerio.
And for everything that God is doing with this ministry. We are done with our PowerPoints and our video. Do you want a short devotional, or should we have a Q&A and... Q&A, all right. So, yes.
Who supports the PEP program? Is it under a college? Is it under World Baptist Missions? Or who is the financial the financial institution that supports the PEP?
Yeah. PEP Ministry is under Baptist and Missions, so we continue to be missionaries with Baptist and Missions, and the PEP Ministry... then is taken on by those men involved or the families involved, but mainly the men are doing the traveling and the teaching and preaching overseas. And so our support comes through local churches. That's the way this ministry is supported. So we are supported by faithful folks like you. Yes. Yeah, it's definitely considered. We've always done the trips, and frankly, there's nothing like being there and sitting across from a person and talking with them and eating lunch with them and supper and breakfast and doing the ministry together and then interacting with them. So that would be our preference still. It's more been the COVID that has pushed us out into doing more online, Zoom, and that type of thing. But it is definitely something to look at, and we're certainly open to God opening up that door more and using those means. Right now, this semester class, I'm loving it because one thing about that is teaching a class 3 hours a week and then allowing them to do the homework and then coming back next week, it's a lot less, overwhelming for the student and for the teacher, and I think maybe they learn more over a large time. So that is an advantage of Zoom that we can't do if we're in person. But I still think the preference would be in person, but both. I think both are going to be used, and if we can't travel, then obviously this is more the way we'll go. Yeah, we've had a few churches who have dropped us, not because of our change in ministry, just because some of them are becoming small and they don't have the funds to be able to support us. So we've had a couple, I think, drop us, but the rest of us have continued to be faithful. Yes. Yes. Well, that's a good question, and we have considered it. We still know the language. We still could transition back into that ministry. At this point, I don't think it's the right time because Willie is still and transition himself and getting his feet back under him. So to go back at this point would not be viable. But yeah, they talked to me last July when we were there at the annual conference, the administrator for South America, where we used to work under him. And so we talked about it, discussed it. It's still on the table. It's still a possibility, but not at the moment. But yeah, we're open to that. Yeah, all of our support that we raise through our churches is for all of those expenses. And sometimes when we're there, you know, we see needs in the country or needs in the pastors there, and sometimes we'll help out in needs that we see. So all of those are covered by giving through you guys. Yeah.
Are you fully supported?
No, we're at 85% now. The overseas trips are expensive, and just living in the States is more expensive. We in Peru, we lived pretty frugally. We had our house, and we ate the fruit of the land, which is fairly reasonable. Here, everything is just a bit more expensive. And then the overseas trip, I mean, no trip is less than $2,000, hardly. Just the airfare. Yeah. Oh, I don't have that figure right in my mind. I think it would probably be, you know, 1,000, maybe a little more. That's what I would guess. Probably be fully supported. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's for both ministries. He's flying to Honduras. In the end of September and 1st of November, that'll be a second qualifying trip. So, yeah, we would be delighted if God would move in people's hearts to support their ministry and Spanish World Ministry as well. Yes?
So Spanish World Ministry
also supported? No, that is a separate ministry. Yes, that's something that he's been involved in for like 20 years. The first director of Spanish World Ministries was a Cuban who escaped, and he has a testimony. I just got the book. I think I got it. I saw the book, but I didn't actually see it in my hands yet. But anyway, it's a thrilling testimony of this guy. The second guy was Cornelio Rivera, who was the director and the speaker. And now Renee's number three, and it's been going for 60 years, as you see on your screen now. So he's taking on and continuing quite a heritage of producing Bible messages to be spread out through Latin America. So a very, very exciting ministry. No, no.
Where is that located, the base?
The base is in Winona Lake, Indiana. So where his daughters are studying is where the center of their ministry is here in the States as well. But they live in Peru. Yes. No, some of them have been, some of our curriculum, but very, very little. Most of it has been produced by members on our team, and so we share those curriculum. And again, I'm just developing one for biblical geography, and I'm borrowing one from a guy who was at Faith Baptist Bible College, their counseling prof, and now he's kind of the counselor for Baptism and Missions. And so I'm using his material for the classes that I'll teach down in Peru next month. Yes, back there.
Actually, I was just going to ask you if your college curriculum was Rocology or Rocology. So it was basically the same question.
Excellent, excellent. Good questions. Did I see a hand back there or not? Anyone else? Any other questions for Renee or for I? Me? All right, thank you so much. It's been a blessing to be with you.